Okay, it's called Connor Ezra.
I just want to prove.
I can do that. Testing.
Minutes from the regular meeting of January 11, 2016. then I can also have a motion to approve the minutes for the reorganization meeting of January 11, 2016. Motion to approve, second.
Second.
Any discussion, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
I oppose, so both motions carried. Any public comments? I don't have any specific chairman's comments, but we can, a bit of excitement going on, so you'll probably touch on. So why don't we go to the presentations and start with that?
All right, today, I just wanted to update you on the Department of Health and Department of Agriculture. They're actually combining their licensing activities with the food and recreational activity. So about, so food safety and recreational licensing is moving out of Department of Health and into Department of Agriculture. Now, this was part of the state budget for 2015 through 2017. So they're going to totally be over there starting July 1st this year. So Department of Health. So as you can see, that's a pretty big undertaking because they have to bring all the people over, some pay inequities that they have to straighten out. But we wanted a one-stop shop for all the licensing for food, and that's what we're striving for here. But a lot of state statutes actually have to get changed because a lot of it is under 196, which is under Department of Health. So right now, they made four or five committees to deal with the transfer or merger that's going on. We have a regulation and policy committee, and actually that's at the state level. And actually, I'm on that committee because I kind of represent contract counties to make sure our voices are heard in this process, because with all the new MOUs and contracts that are going to be formed, we want to make sure that we're not going to be overrun by the state. We want to make sure that our contracts, that they still give us the education they promised us with the amount of money we get back to them for our licensing. We did do one through a policy meeting. We had our first policy meeting in December, and we already came through with one with temporary restaurants, how we're going to move forward with enforcement of that. That we're actually going to allow counties to accept the state license from temporary restaurants, and we would only charge a inspection fee. But our compromise is we have a lot of temporary restaurants that don't leave Kenosha County, so we can issue that license within our county yet, so we don't lose that much money on this. That was one of our big things, especially counties like Dane County and Milwaukee County. You know, they don't want to have to accept everybody's license, you know, with funds, people's jobs for these counties. It's not a huge portion of our budget, but we still want to make sure that we keep our locals and keep our local license with that. So we also have to get new contracts with the state for department instruction, all the school inspections. So they have all the state statutes that are going to be changed, but that's going to take at least 2 years to be able to open them up and vet them, send them back through the process. So there's going to be a long, it's July 1st, all this is going to be done. It's pretty much just starting, really. So especially for all the codes and statutes that need to be changed. So I just wanted to update you on that this is occurring. So we might get changes coming forward on how we do some inspections, or at least the fees are going to be the same right now. I'm going to be talking with our Corp Council because in Act 55, it said that we could not raise restaurant fees for a year. Well, other people said we could, so we have to go through our Corp Council to find out actually what Act 5 entails, and did that actually pass. So the state has two lobbyists that just go through the budget to find out what changes came to us. They don't just tell you what came to us, we actually have to go in and find it. So that's been the struggle in anything. But like Dane County, they have their own lobbyist, so he's been sharing stuff with us too. So as we move forward, we'll deal with the state, and I can update you on what changes have occurred and, you know, who's taking ownership of it. So if you have any questions on that? All right, then I covered it all.
And the asthma control.
Asthma?
I'm Pat, this is Lindsay, and we're gonna tell you about the asthma care and environmental strategies program. Did you do it or did I do it?
I did.
You did it?
Yeah.
Okay, this program is administered by the Wisconsin Department of Health under a grant that they received from the CDC. And this grant in Wisconsin, currently we have funding here in Kenosha, there's funding at the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee and Sawyer County. We were the three trial counties that they started with dual funding. The objectives of the grant are in line with the state's asthma plan. So we want to reduce the number of emergency department visits and reduce the number and length of hospital stays for people with asthma. How we're going to do that is to work with partners in the community to identify potential clients. We determine the severity of someone's asthma by using the asthma control test. Any scores of 19 or less are eligible for the program. We also determine if the client has health care coverage. If they don't have health care coverage and a primary care provider, we assist them in obtaining coverage and finding a primary care provider to care for them. We also schedule two home visits actually to provide education for them. During the education portion, we go through their medications. They tell us what they're taking and how they take it, and we review, make sure they understand what their medications are for and why they should take them, especially the controllers. A lot of times they don't understand that they need to take on a regular basis. We go through and do a home walkthrough and look for environmental triggers and provide information and some supplies to deal with environmental triggers as well. We also then have a two-week follow-up call, a three-month follow-up call, and a six-month follow-up call to complete the program.
We also send the providers in here. After the second home visit, we do send any providers that they've told us that are seeing for their asthma a copy of what they've told us and what education we've provided. Providers think they're taking and what they tell us are not the same, so we're able to give the providers some information.
The referral sources for last year, the majority of our referral sources are coming through the school nurses, and we actually had several from the HUD-led program. And we're starting to get more from the WIC office. But yeah, we have referrals from some various sources. We're still doing outreach, talking to pharmacies and primary care providers and trying to build relationships in the community. One of the things that's new this year that we just started is a program called Inky and the Inhalers. And I brought one of the folders that we share with the kids with the information that goes home to the family send us to.
They get this to go home with and pass it around, which is nice.
But there's a video that goes with the program. What we're trying to do is to go to all the elementaries in Kenosha Unified, meet with all the children between the grades of 2 and 5, and then we show them the video, and we go through, we talk about asthma, we answer any questions they might have about asthma. So far the kids seem to enjoy the comic format. It's not intimidating. It's it's kind of cute, and the comic actually does cover everything. We brought the posters, so you can see some of the information, so it covers all four of these things, what is asthma, what's a bronchodilator, what's a controller, and what are some triggers.
And it has a really nice section where it shows them how to use an inhaler also, appropriately, and it actually has these actors in that section, and actually has a girl and a provider going through how to use the inhaler in the chamber, so.
These are good teaching tools.
We give this to the whole class?
No, actually, the state has asked that we do it just for asthmatic students right now, so we're able to run a test of the second graders are with asthma, and send, have them come in individually. They also have needs, we're just talking about the stickers that they can put on their controller, medication, and their rescue inhaler, so that the kids can remember which one is which, so we get that with the kids.
We've actually three schools so far, and we have two more schools scheduled, and so far so good, it seems like it's going really well. And then we also give, in the folder of information that you send home with the kids, there's the brochure, the tri-fold about the program. Interestingly, we haven't got any calls from parents to participate in the program, but we have a...
And one of the schools we did was one that I cover as a school nurse also, and... we did it right before Christmas, and ironically, I had probably four or five inhalers come in right after the holidays. And maybe since then, but we're kind of watch with the other school nurses and see if it's a prompt for parents when they got the information, when they get their inhalers to school, but it's nice for me to do that.
We also do a pre- and post-test with the kids to see if they're actually retaining any of the information that's covered in the program, and so far the results have also been positive, so it's been a good experience. So why did we receive funding in the first place? Sadly, Kenosha has really bad asthma statistics. When we initially got the grant, we had the fourth highest emergency department rate for the state, and the third highest hospitalization rate in the state. The highest density for our patients tends to be in the city of Kenosha and Pleasant Prairie, and that kind of makes sense with the power plant being over there in Pleasant Prairie, because that's where the air quality tends to be the worst, and anything east of I-94, we just have higher particulate counts down there in town than what they have in the western part of the county. So, it is important that we can provide information for these folks. And a lot of it is not because they're not getting information from their doctors or they're not getting information when they go to the hospital. It's just sometimes they're afraid to ask questions for whatever reason in those environments. And people tend to be a little more relaxed when they're at home. So hopefully, we will continue to recruit clients and get some better rates for the county so that we're not ranked in the top five worst places in the state for asthma.
We haven't received any referrals from them yet, but we have worked with them closely on the clients. And agree. Is that what you're doing?
The discussion between them.
Yeah, Sarah Lauder and the nurse practitioner.
Even better would be in touch with the nurse that's there. And it's actually changing. It wasn't everything that's changing.
Okay. Do you know when that's happening?
In the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, it doesn't mean it's due.
Okay.
And the main phone number is suspect 3226 also.
Okay.
And I would say suggest that question because I'm not sure that there's any looking flyers that they can find the people.
What is the, you say you'll give some assistance or whatever, some families or whatever?
This is, we have some supplies that were donated primarily from EPA Region 5, so we have some cleaning supplies that we're able to share with families. We have some integrated pest management materials that we can share with families if they need help with roaches. we have mattress encasements and pillow encasements, if that's available. So we try to, when we do the visit, find out what the triggers are, and if they haven't been tested for their triggers, encourage them to be tested, so that they can recognize their triggers, and then if we have some calls to address those, we'll share them.
What's the retention rate for parents of the abandoned vehicle?
Well, that's part of the follow-up process with the going back, you know, doing two home visits and then the follow-up calls.
We do the teach back, like, longer, we do a pre and post test, that talks about triggers and stuff more than, and it'll ask questions like, if Johnny's using his inhaler three times a week, is he controlled for a fall? So there are some questions like that, and they tend to do maybe one or two questions better on the post test. And then when we're teaching, we have a list of what we go through in the education, so I use the teach back method. And I frequently, particularly with the medications, they don't get it the first time, and they get flustered that I've asked them to ask for the information back, and I tell them, this is for me, this is about how I'm teaching you. And then they relax, and we go back through it again, and they usually can repeat it most of the time. Not is follow-through always happening when I'm calling back on these? Not always, but there's oftentimes other things that we're finding, like I find out that they don't really want a medication yet, and I need to spread, you know, why it's important. And then I call the provider back, and we talk about it, and find out that an AdjuCare is no longer covering the Flovent, and it's the Q-bar. So then they call, and they change that form, and then, and meanwhile, I mentioned, by the way, they don't have a chamber, so they call that in too. We called pharmacy, and it was our last client was $58 when she went to pick up. She didn't have the money, and she didn't ask if it was a medication or the chamber. They don't. So sometimes it's just getting through the steps of,
and then the communication with
the provider to figure out what's actually happening. And a lot of these families just have a lot of things going on, and so to navigate through what, why is it that you, isn't that they didn't want to get their medications, but a lot of times there's other reasons why they haven't followed through. So we try to help with those visits, or even with home, I'm calling, I'm, you know, going back through and explaining to them, you know, yes, they've been using their inhaler still because they haven't started to get their medication.
Any idea of what percentage of households are smoking?
That's a good thing to look at.
So you really, that's kind of the environmental monitor. And most of the parents, at least for the ones that let us in, because that's a whole other topic, but the ones that we actually go in, I think I've only seen an ashtray in one of the houses. We have had parents that smoke, that they swear up and down that they go outside to smoke and they smoke in the home in front of the kids.
So we do education then on if they're smoking outside, you know, wearing something that smokes outside, Jack. We bring back, usually at the second visit, if they're open to, we'll bring back information to that line and give them resources to parents who are not able to get information.
Jenny has an, I don't think we've walked.
We've had a couple, I think, that we've walked into that
was like,
and they're the ones I tell you they don't smoke. So,
swear.
Yeah.
And what about, you know, I know that spaces are under interest. Is there any way that you can help families get them when there's a cost or anything like that?
We have very limited resources because we have some money. And in this instance that I just mentioned, we're trying to see if we can work that way to help this family out.
But the grant specifically,
yeah,
from all
the grant
pays for a cheap.
We have some money from another.
You're in preschools now?
We've done the presentation at preschools.
Can you tell us which ones you're in and which ones you're going to go into?
We've done Revino, Bose, and we went to Frank, yes. And we're going to Wilson and Brass next. Those are next two.
What was the second last one?
The last one was Brass.
You can check, because Pleasant Prairie is in there on the chart. I just wanted to go to Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah. Well,
our goal is to go to all the schools in KUSD, the elementary schools in KUSD. So it's just a matter of logistics. trying to get in around other programs that are going on, whether it's with the nurses or testing or...
We've talked with all the school nurses, so we cover all of the school nurses except for all the elementaries that we do cover in Kenosha, the school nursing services. And so they all are aware of it, and as they can see us on the calendar, putting us in, they're contacting me to get it scheduled. So we're hoping, I'd actually like to get out into some of the county schools too. We have it, we have the information out there too.
On this,
schools, we have, well, it's always been one of our highest health conditions, we always, it's always been one of the top five health conditions. The numbers right now, I would not even, we've got a new system in push unified and collecting information. So the numbers have gone down a little bit. I don't think it's because the asthma cases have increased. I think it's just a matter of getting the parents to put the information into the campus and getting to the school nurses. But it's one of the biggest conditions that I've seen in the schools in my years as a school nurse, and it's one of the biggest issues. The other ones are diabetes, seizures, cardiac, and allergies. Those are our top five usually in the schools. And while diabetics take a lot of care and knowledge, it's the asthmatics that a lot of times we don't have medications for. They come into the office very sick, and I've seen people with good intentions send them back to class. It's just there's not as much education, and we're trying to change that for them to understand how serious it can be and to get the medications in. Typically, we see medications maybe, I'm going to be generous and say 15% to 20% by the end of the school year have inhalers that mark that they have asthma in the schools. The school I was just talking about, Grevenell, they don't have a very smaller building, but I have 50% of them in right now, which I'm ecstatic about. But that's a universal issue around. I just went to a conference for, there were a few doctors from Children's who went into some of the schools in Milwaukee, thinking they wanted to get the asthma action plans into the school nurses' hands, which is a huge part of what we talk about also in this program, is for people to have that. And when we got there, the school nurses all were talking about how they wanted orders from the doctors. I mean, really, it was eye-opening for me because the doctors said, what are you talking about orders from us? And they had never put together that piece of paper that we request with the parents, you know, filling it out oftentimes in the signatures. It was really an order just like in the hospital. We need an order for a nurse to do something there. And he started taking percentages and looking at it, and pretty much across the board, they had about 12% of that one and had inhalers in Milwaukee too. So trying to figure out how to stop that. And we send letters to parents that don't have inhalers in, and now as a school nurse, we're now trying to make phone calls. We're trying different things to try and get parents to either bring the inhalers in or tell us, you know, sometimes they do say they had bronchitis when they were two and had an inhaler then, and we've never had another issue. At least we can document that somewhere versus the ones that are really severe and then we never receive the medication until they come to the rescue.
Good question. Ebola funds, and now we're looking at probably offering SIBA funds. So
and usually that's how they make those connections rather than the same general university investigation. Our environmental team, they're working diligently to cross-train their staff for coverage as they head up. Rather young or new public health staff. And in our family reproductive health team, they're building relationship and collaborating with Women's and Children's Horizons and the Aurora SANE group. And that's a pilot that to a project that Glenn's been putting together, and we're really excited about that opportunity. We're continuing to move forward with our medical assisted treatment program, and we're finalizing the protocols on that and working with our collaborative partners to do that 40-person pilot project in our community that's dealing with those that are affected by opioids. And that's the withdrawal project that's an indication that we'll be giving a huge fund to the individuals. And lastly, we are working diligently to fill a couple of positions, and I think the public health nurse and a couple of advanced nursing practitioners.
Yeah, nothing else. Any other business? Entertaining motion to adjourn?
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.